Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
My football team's got me drinking. Give me beer, whiskey, wine, or gin. Anything to shake this mood I'm in. My football team's got me drinking.
Back at it again with another shade of blue. Cody Bradley, Thad does not like recaps, and Robert Russert are here. We are the KC Soccer Journal. Mike Kuhn is scheduled to join us, has been attempting to, but he's coming from another dimension, apparently. We'll see how it works out. A lot of very cool soccery things happening right now as a soccer fan in America. So many fun things, exciting things. That is for everyone except a Sporting Kansas City fan or a Kansas City Current fan. So I hope we don't have any of those listening today.
Just our target audience, man. That's all.
Right.
So, yes, we have a lot to talk about, but our natural starting point is, of course, the 3-3 loss/draw against FC Cincinnati in the League's Cup on Sunday night. Thad, you wrote our recap for that game. And just really messed it up, apparently. Just a terrible disservice he did to Kyrie Sheldon. We'll get to that one too. But yeah, Thad, tell us.
Damn it, Thad.
Get us started on this on the draw loss to FC Cincinnati.
Okay. A, I don't like writing recaps, but basically I have not written a winning recap this year, be it for Sporting, be it for Current, be it for anybody, I don't think. So yeah, that just kind of sucks.
It is a curse that we're dealing with currently.
So I want you to know that if people do not volunteer to do recaps and I just do it because nobody else has volunteered, it is on you.
I'm just saying, me. I haven't had the confidence to say it in the Slack yet, but we have like 13 people that write for this blog. Someone should be able to step up. Where are all these peripheral people that are not stepping up and doing a recap? Come on. Lay the hammer down, Thad. Okay. Well, get us going off of this game. How do you feel about it? What did you see? What do you think?
A lot of people really thought, you know, that it was terrible result, well, all that. You know, they played pretty well, started off really well, two goals, everything is going good. Pulido does something stupid. I don't think it was totally intentional, but it was still stupid. And everything goes to shit from there. But even then, they didn't play that bad. They still didn't look bad. I mean, a man down. They were still getting some chances. They gave up a couple goals. It's probably one of their best performances all season, except they didn't get anything out of it except a single point in the stupid shootout.
I like, it is the same as USL, right? It's that same system?
No, MLS Next Pro.
Oh, damn it.
And I do like it. I just am saying stupid shootout because of the way it ended.
But it is the points and the 1 point and the 2 points, and it is set up the same as that, correct?
Yeah, and NHL does a similar sort of thing.
Ah, I didn't know that. Learn something new every day. So let's try Mike. Mike, is it working? Can you hear us from wherever you are?
I can hear you guys just fine.
There we go.
Me, and am I delayed?
You know what I like about this is Since the pandemic started and all these video chats, the person who says, I'm going to turn my camera off, see if it makes the sound better, it never works. It's the last attempt that people always try to do, and it never works. But it seems to be working for Mike here. I think we have a podcast. It might work out. To be fair,
I did switch computers as well. I went from my laptop to my desktop, which is why you don't have a camera.
Perfect. I like it.
So, Mike, what's that jersey you're wearing in that picture there?
That's a Kempen goalkeeper jersey.
Tiny Kempen, Puma.
Okay.
And you've got the, I forget, the City something logo for the Royals, the hat on. I bought that jersey. I love it. I wish that would become their new jersey and their new logo.
That's the exact reason I bought it. I don't like baseball, but I like the logo.
I don't know what that little campaign is that they do for that, but it's like a special line of jerseys and stuff that come out. It's a Fountain KC logo for those that don't know. Okay, now you can tell us about what you think of Sporting Kansas City and the dumpster fire.
The last night or in general?
Because, exactly. I mean, that's a question I was going
to ask. There are different tacks to take with each one of them.
Well, so I didn't know the dumpster fire part was going to come out of my mouth until the very last moment. It just kind of fell out of my mouth. I don't know what I was referring to. I'm just not happy.
So just go with stream of consciousness there, Mike.
I mean, I'll go with last night. I mean, it's the third time in four games that they've blown a two-goal lead. This one felt a little bit better, if that can make any sort of sense.
Yeah.
In the fact that they fought from a goal down, or not from a goal down, they fought after going a man down and actually retook the lead, and it took a penalty kick in the last 10 seconds to force the penalty kick shootout. I mean, I'm sure we'll get into whether that's a handball or not. For me, it was. I may not like it, but by the letter of the law, that is a handball on Rosero there. He did make his body bigger with his elbow sticking out. So,
and Peter Vermees agreed with you on that one. And we were talking at one point this year about him saying the wrong things after games, and he did seem to focus on that call there at the end, hurting Sporting, and not necessarily blaming it, but he kind of did blame him.
Well, I mean, the handball rule is it's a sucky rule. I mean, it's understandable while you have it for the game of soccer, but the definition, description, how it's utilized, it sucks. Every year they change it, they try to make it better, and it never does. It always kind of gets the same crap. So unfortunately, in my opinion, it was a handball. Both of them were.
He gave a little chicken wing. He had the hands behind the back, a little bit of a chicken wing.
Behind his back, but the elbow was out, and it made his body bigger. And at least on replay, it sort of looks like he angles that part of his body towards the ball. Basically, it sucks. But VAR is not going to overturn that decision.
I'm not too mad about it specifically. I'm not going to focus on it. It was just kind of an unlucky thing. But they were going to score one way or another. Sporting Kansas City are not allowed to have nice things this season, and that goal was always coming. It was always going to happen, especially after a couple missed golden opportunities. It was just always going to happen. We are not allowed to do anything good, and it has to always come in the most painful manner possible.
But that's our own fault. I mean, we've dropped more points from winning positions than any other team in the league has this season. It is a problem of the team's own making that they were in this position. Whether you want to blame Alan Pulido for losing his mind, whether you want to blame Kyrie Shelton for in my opinion, inexcusable miss for an MLS forward.
Inexcusable.
And I say that, I feel like I need to preface that by also saying he had a good game up to that point. Shelton had played a good game. He set up the first goal with the cross. He almost set up Ndembe for what would have been a fourth a little bit later in the game. He did not play bad, but nobody's going to remember that. They're going to remember, oh my God, he missed a 1v1 from the penalty spot.
I want to go back to the theme of them dropping points from winning positions. Thad, fix this. We'll talk about all the other stuff that, that Mike mentioned there. But Thad, fix that problem. How do we fix this? Mike mentioned it's a makeup of their own doing. What else can they do? How do you just say, okay, we're not going to give up goals anymore. We're going to win this game.
Man, if I knew that, I'd be coaching. It's been a problem. It's a problem this year. It's been a problem in some previous years.
Yes. As far back as I can remember.
Do we need like mental strength tests for people when they get hired to be a center back for this team? I don't know.
It hurts. Robert, what do you think?
I wish I had an answer.
Well, hey, let's give some credit, if you will, to Logan and Denbe. You got to get to that ball. You can't let the defender beat you to that ball because that could have been, you know, the game decider right there. You get there, and Logan did not. So we got to throw some shade Logan's way too. But, yeah, I mean, Thad, you're right. Center backs, Rosario, you know, his play a couple games ago, just not there. You know, Jake Davis, he's a right back. He's a rookie. He's made some mistakes too, including one in this game last night. So I really think it comes down to defense, guys. Our defense just for years has not been where it needs to be quality-wise.
And they have typically been worse on defense when they haven't had Radoya in there. Not that they've been perfect when Radoya's been in there the last couple of games, but he's been, when he's been healthy and playing well, they seem to do well for the 70 minutes he's in or 60 minutes and then kind of falter after that. And then he wasn't in yesterday. Again, I overall, the performance is good. It's just that everything went against them to have that result. If I mean, I know that doesn't make sense, but it does because they got off to the 2-0 start. Polito goes stupid. The game gets tied up. They still come back and get a lead. And even with the Shelton not scoring on that, I mean, he was there. He was in the right spot. He shot it at the goal, and Alec Khan was in the right spot.
He even had time to take a touch, guys. Let's be honest. He could have taken a touch and then finished the ball, but anyway.
Yeah, he didn't take the touch though. That is probably the problem there. But he just one timed it into Khan. So, and I know Cody likes to think people are just standing there in goal and that's all they have to do. But Khan got into the right spot to stop that shot.
Got into the right spot. Stood in the middle of the goal. Is that the right spot?
He wasn't in the middle when the cross was cut, when the pass was made though. So he got into the right spot. So yeah, that is something.
No, but as a forward, you're taught in those situations to put the ball back across from where the goalie is, and that's not what Shelton did.
I don't disagree.
Shelton just made any contact he could with that in a situation where it didn't call for him to make any contact he could on it.
Yeah, he could have passed it into either corner, and it would have been a goal.
Well, and a true again, forward.
I hate that I'm harping on this because, like I said, he played a good game and I feel like I'm dogging on him when I really shouldn't be because there are other things that are upsetting me about the game. But anyway, go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, a true forward. And Kyrie Shelton is not a true forward, guys. We know this. But preps his body, preps his mind for that ball getting to him, even if it doesn't, because he's thinking about that. He's ready for, hey, if this ball gets to me, here's what I'm going to do. Kyrie reacted. Kyrie was not prepared. He was not in a position with his body or his mind to finish that ball. And that's most of Kyrie's issues.
And I don't think Kyrie has been in the right mind for quite a while. I mean, he's just because of how badly things have went. I mean, he's a good guy and he's not a bad winger, but he's just been so out of form that I think it has affected him mentally.
The good thing
for the PK was it was on the road. If that was at home, I'm thinking Kyrie misses that PK just because of the mindset and the fans and everything. Too much.
The disrespect from Thad Bell towards Kyrie Shelton just continues at a ridiculous rate. He made a mistake in his recap and took some heat for it. People don't like mistakes. Someone always reads it the wrong way and assumes the worst, and that happened to Thad Bell this weekend. Thad, why don't you explain what has happened here?
Should I explain how I made the mistake?
Yeah, because honestly, how it happened, because I genuinely don't understand either, but I know that it does not mean you have a disdain for Kyrie Shelton and refuse to acknowledge that he's scored a penalty kick in that game.
No. In fact, I even credited him with a good cross that created the own goal that started everything off well. And I was doing recap, and again, I hate it. And but there was so much going on in that game that it was kind of like back and forth. I could never keep caught up.
Worst game to write a recap for. Late goals. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, then shootout and all that type of stuff. And my, I was trying to catch up and get it out there. And I had written something about who had missed. And I'm like, oh, I should probably write who scored first. I reordered stuff. And in the process, I did not move the name correctly or something. And so I had Eric Tommy and Remy Voltaire scoring the goals, and Remy Voltaire and Andreu Fontas missing. So I just had eliminated Kyrie from that success that he had scoring in a penalty that ended up not mattering.
And a commenter took that as just he hates prejudice. Kyrie Shelton so much that he literally could not even acknowledge it in the facts of a recap, and also that it means you should not be a journalist. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yes, I'm an embarrassment to the journalism profession or something. I don't know. Which, if they understood what we do here, that's not even really a question.
I love when we get called journalists. We get called journalists whenever it's a derogatory term.
Yeah. When it's a mistake, we're journalists. If we do something good, we're just pod people.
Yeah, then it's people. Just, oh yeah, who's going to believe this blogger over here?
So, yeah, and I took the high road, and I said, thank you for pointing out the mistake. I made a correction, and I said, I appreciate your reading, and I look forward to, you know, comments in the future or something like that.
I just thought it was funny from my vantage point, because I was reading the messages in our Slack, and there was a lot of finger pointing at Kyrie Shelton for that, and Thad jumped in to say he actually had a good game and mentioned some other stuff. And then like 5 minutes later, I see this message that he has such a disdain for him.
Yeah. And what I do, a couple people commented, you know, that came to my defense and said that I'm probably the more level-headed or even-minded or however they phrased it on the site and all that. And so much so that I will not do a hot take no matter how much Cody tries. I responded, yes. And part of the enjoyment is that it annoys Cody.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so let's talk about the Pulido headbutt. Thad, I think you and I kind of saw it the same way. It is absolutely horrible. He should have been sent off. No qualms there. But Thad, do you think he was truly diving forward to headbutt this guy, or was it maybe something different?
I did not think he was trying to headbutt him. I think he reacted quickly to try to jump over top of him and, you know, get in his face, because they collided. He kind of hit Pulido when he came down also, and I think it pissed him off, and he was going to get up in his face. Honestly, the only time I've ever headbutted somebody in anger, I swung my head at them. I didn't just straight
spear him.
Maybe that's Pulido's style. I don't know, man.
It looks really bad, but yeah, it is definitely like an awkward situation happened there. He was definitely going for the patented almost fight. I'm going to put my forehead right up next to you and in there. And at the same time, that guy kind of leaned forward or fell forward. And I think Pulido kind of maybe slipped and did the same. And yeah, they hit really hard. It was a very dangerous thing. He should have been sent off. And what do you know? Another game without Pulido.
And what a game to miss.
Yeah. And Robert, you were mentioning the defense. There's the problem with Sporting right now. A lot of people are talking about the defense, and then you put pressure on the defense by losing your striker in the, whatever that was, the 30th minute. It was the worst.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Cody. That's a good premonition.
Right, the worst thing that could happen. And there was good in this game. I feel what Mike said there. There's a lot worse moments of dropped points. This is by far the best team in MLS at the moment. And they fought back, did pretty well, but again, there's just something in the air. There's something around this team, the soccer gods. I don't know what it is, but that goal was always going to happen one way or another. If he didn't chicken wing it, it would have gone straight in or knocked off Pulskamp's hand or something ridiculous would have happened, and they were not going to win that game, I believe in my heart.
So, Cody, you had no hope that we were going to win the shootout, right? You're just like, no, just not going to happen.
Well, I don't know. I did actually kind of think the Big Bear was going to come up, because he had a pretty good game, and I had a bit of false confidence. But I for whatever reason, I knew Remy was going to miss, And after they hit a couple of them, it just seemed like it was all on them. The home team in a PK shootout is hard to beat.
Yeah.
And they went second, so
I was fairly confident they were going to lose when they went to shootout. That's actually when I finally wrote the headline that they lost.
So it is your fault that.
Right.
Well, to be fair to Thad, and I mentioned this last night to somebody, I mean, they didn't have a lot of guys to take penalty kicks still on the field at that point. I mean, Polito was off the field. Russell was off the field. Kinda was off the field. You basically only had two offensive players on the field at that point, and they both made their penalty kicks.
Yep.
After Tommy and Shelton, who else do you have take the penalty kick? Voltaire would have been one of the five that I would have chosen.
Yep.
That was on the field. Fontas probably would have been one of the five, honestly. I'm not sure.
Or Fonte.
Espinosa's not sure I want him taking it. I've never seen Leibold or Ndembe or Rosero take a penalty kick, but none of those guys immediately jump out as, oh yeah, they need to take a penalty kick before.
Jake Davis.
Davis, I guess. Davis did he take PKs with SKC2 some?
I don't know.
He might have taken one or two.
He's taken free kicks with them, but I don't know if he's ever taken PKs.
Yeah, I know he did free kicks. So Davis, maybe given his history as a midfielder, I'd potentially see that, but there weren't a lot of options to take penalty kicks in that situation. And with when the Cincinnati tied the game, there wasn't a lot of opportunity to get on a Jonis, I guess, if you wanted to throw on some attacking option to take a penalty kick. So I will say one other thing that you forgot, Cody, with the Polito red card is the most obvious reason why he got it. The conspiracy theory, he didn't want to play Chivas.
Doesn't want to play against his future and former team.
Either A, because he didn't want to play against his future club, or B, there's some backdoor dealing going on, and that he did that on purpose to seal things up.
Basically. Whatever.
Do we need to do a disclaimer that you're not really serious about this, Mike?
If you can't
reckless
catch sarcasm in my voice on that, then that's probably your own problems.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people with their own problems in this world, and they may not understand that was a little bit of sarcasm.
Then they can come talk. They can come direct their hate at me, and I will do the same thing I did to the person on Twitter today when they yelled at me for not being a homer.
Well, guys, talking about problems.
Thad, why do you do that? I hate when you do that. Thad will do this thing. He'll go. He'll breathe in.
I
lean
started
into
to say
the
something,
mic.
But he started talking, so I stopped. I didn't want to talk over him. It's called politeness, Cody. Do you have a problem with that?
Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, go ahead, Robert.
Talking about problems, guys. I mean, come on. This sport, 22 guys, one ball. You know, you got the largest goals in any sport, except for, you know, an end zone, but that's not really a goal.
We're getting existential.
You've got rules. You got the offsides rule. You've got all these machinations that can happen in this game. And like David said last night, this game is most known of all sports for clutching a loss from the grip of victory. The whole problem with this is us, because we're fans of this game. We are the problem. If we didn't care about this game, none of this would matter. It wouldn't matter at all. We're the problem.
See, I thought you were making that a we're the problem, as in we, the general we of sporting, not we, the fans.
No, we are the problem because we care.
Well, on that note, the thing that is just so frustrating about this loss to me is this is a competition that I think a lot of Sporting Kansas City fans didn't care about. They would have been fine with losing, playing some reserves as just kind of a middle finger to the existence of this tournament. But then it's just so Sporting Kansas City that they get a lead. That this game you think that they will probably lose against a good team, a game you don't really even care about, and then all of a sudden they're beating the best team in MLS by two goals. And they reel you in. and they make you believe, but you always knew it was coming. And it's just, that is, this team finds miraculous ways to disappoint me lately. And it is never, they can never just like really do it in an easy way. They had to stretch this one out, make you believe, and then rip your heart out at the very end.
And the announcers who mistook the Cincinnati keeper for John Pulskamp.
And Robert,
talking about, hey, if Sporting's win this game, they're going to be in the driver's seat. They're going to know their fate come Monday night. They're going to be in the driver's seat. And that just made it worse.
Don't get me started on the announcers last night. I had plenty of issues with them other than that comment about it. But and to be fair, they weren't wrong in that regard. I mean, Sporting, if they'd had held on in that game, they could have already been through by the time they take the field against Chivas. If Chivas beats Cincinnati in their game, Sporting's already through as one of the top two before they even take the field against Chivas. And their game between the two of them is just who gets the first seed, who gets the second seed. But I mean, at this point, I personally was one of the ones that I don't like the League's Cup. I think it's pointless. I'm not coming around to accepting it, but the way that MLS has designed it this year with the month-long break between league games, I want the team to do well because I don't want them to be done playing next Monday after they play Chivas for a month until they play San Jose, because that's just going to make the San Jose game that much worse, basically, after a month off without a competitive game. So MLS has forced me to care about this tournament by stopping the part of the season I actually do care about.
Listen to that. They've won over Mike. The seeds
no,
are...
No, not won over. They have not won me over. I still hate this stupid competition.
The seeds have been coerced. The seeds
I'm
have been planted.
I'm accepting the competition. I still hate it, but I'm accepting it.
He's been coerced. He's been forced. He's been physically
against
assaulted.
Against my will to understand the reason why I should care about this stupid tournament.
We'll be right back. All right. Did you guys have two screens going on Friday night for the World Cup and Messi debut?
I did not.
Thad, then what did you watch?
I had no screens on.
I watched the World Cup.
Good man. Good man. No screens. Mike was like me. I was at the lake, and I was trying desperately to watch on a phone, and I was switching back between both of them.
I was watching live soccer. I had gone down. We took the kids down to Tulsa for a kind of quick getaway, and so I was watching FC Tulsa play Rio Grande Valley.
Ah, Mike, the true U.S. soccer man. He does it all. The youth soccer, all levels, all ages. Mike's there, and he's keeping stats probably.
No, I was just enjoying a nice neutral game.
But you were tweeting out who the best players were.
It was. Like no, well, I was tweeting about the game because it felt like something to do because it was fun. I had a good time. And honestly, I like, other than the fact it's a baseball stadium, I like Tulsa, where their stadium is in Tulsa. It's nice.
Mike, it's called Zeding now, if you haven't seen. It's not tweeting,
yeah,
it's Zeding.
I don't. Yeah, whatever.
No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that podcast
I will only – the only reason I'm still on that site is because I get more engagement there than I do on Threads. And the fact Threads doesn't have a desktop functionality.
And the Threads is just Mark Zuckerberg, and I don't know how that's any better. Anyway.
Well, that and the whole how they timeline stuff with it as well. So.
Yeah. Nothing is good right now in the social media landscape. So there is a lot of things going on in the soccering world right now. Messi is here. He had a miraculous debut. It still will never match Zlatan Ibrahimovic. But I did not believe when my friend said, oh, so Messi scored. I thought he was just messing with me. I looked at the game. It was in like the 90th minute, and I thought it was over, and that my friends were just messing with me. But of course, Messi did it. It was beautiful. A big moment for the league, I saw some people trying to make fun of everyone getting so excited about this bad team and that it shouldn't be that good and that they're in a kind of a weak stadium, whatever. I'm happy for the league. It was a cool moment. It gave a lot of cool moments for a lot of people that were there. And I will remember it for a long time. Thad, what do you think about the new age of MLS we've entered? Oh, I can't hear him.
You're on mute, Thad.
Yep, sorry. I'm not too happy with the whole thing because Messi has been one of my favorite players for a long time now, and now I have to dislike him.
Because he's Inter Miami, right?
Yep.
And true fans don't root for two teams?
I can't root for two teams in the same league.
Damn right.
And I am tired of seeing Messi in pink up on MLSsoccer.com every time I go over there to look at a stat.
Yo, like, those pink jerseys, though. They're so nice.
It's not the pink jerseys. It's not that it's Miami. It's that it has been nothing but Messi for so long. Like, okay, I get the importance. I get that it can help build the league. I understand that. But there are still other teams in this league. There are still other things. Even like Leagues Cup wasn't really even at the top of the MLS soccer.com page. It was just Messi.
Mike, what do you think of the Messi mania?
I mean, I like what it's bringing to the league. It was fun watching the video of the goal. I mean, I know you mentioned the Zlatan goal in his debut for LA in the El Tráfico against LAFC, but I mean, for my money, the Messi goal is right there with the Zlatan goal simply because it's the equivalent of a walk-off, basically. He put it in, and in that sort of situation, I mean, this will sound bad because I'm equating a good thing for what I badmouthed. So for those that didn't see it, I badmouthed when they were showing Kim Kardashian and LeBron James and Serena Williams, and I'm like, just don't interview them like they did Jennifer right. Love Hewitt at the Beckham friendly that he debuted in. And sure enough, like 5 minutes later, people are telling me, oh yeah, they interviewed Kim Kardashian on the broadcast. And I'm like, well, at least they didn't do it during the play of the game. But I mean, to have that sort of exposure where, I mean, the big photo going around is mm-hmm. James, Kardashian, and Williams all with their phones up having recorded that goal and that yeah. celebration. And that sort of thing is good for the league. That sort of exposure can very well be good for the league. So I'm excited. One of the best players to ever play the game in MLS is going to be fun. I'm being diplomatic in that regard because in my opinion, he's one of the top three, if he's not number one.
Zachary Cobb made a good point about the Messi mania stuff is good. I think he was annoyed like Thad was about the sheer volume of all of it and the absolute domination of it everywhere. And he brought up the point about, you know, we need fans to fall in love with the league and the other teams around this as well. Robert, do you think that they're falling short on that? Is this just the first week they're trying to capitalize on all of this? Do you think it will calm down, or is this just going to be the Messi soccer league and for the next 2 years, 3 years?
Well, what was really ridiculous was they're at the first training that he's, you know, in for Inter Miami, and the announcers have to talk about anything but what's going on at training because there's absolutely nothing compelling going on at the first training.
So like, true. Okay,
what are we going to talk about? Well, nothing's going on. So that was a bit over the top. But yeah, I mean, seeing him on the screen all the time since even weeks before he even signed was pretty ridiculous. I agree with that on that. They've got to pay attention to their league and, you know, bring that. But no, I don't think it's going to be high fever, high pitch all the time, because at some point Inter Miami is going to be out of it and they're going to have to force to do other things. But, you know, him, Busquets, and then Alba, when he gets here, they're going to show some highlights. They're going to create some highlights and people are going to want to pay attention to that. And the league would be dumb to not promote that. So
call me
the league's doing what they need to do.
Call me an MLS simp, but I'm still loving all of it. I ate up the footage of him at that first training. It was just fun seeing him talking to all of these guys like a real human and a real teammate of them on an MLS roster. I'm eating all of it up. I love it. I'm a Messi fan, holds a special place in my heart, and I'm just here for the ride. I've said it once before, I'll say it again. I love that he's here, and I love that it is not happening to my club. I don't know what's going to happen with Inter Miami. I feel like they're going to go bankrupt. Messi's going to bankrupt another team. I don't know how any of this works. That is another topic I wanted to bring up. There was apparently a meeting. Garber mentioned a meeting with all the executives and owners, and that maybe some rule changes are coming to fit all of these things in here. You mentioned Alba's coming. Now they've picked up another international roster slot, and maybe Luis Suarez is coming. None of it's going to make any sense. I don't understand how any of it will work, but I'm here for it. And it's going to be a ride, and I don't have to do it. It's not going to hurt me in any way. It's going to hurt another team probably. So I'm here for it. And if it works for them, then it's good for MLS, and I'm happy about it. We'll see some cool things.
It's probably not going to hurt the other team, because much like the Galaxy days when they got Beckham, they became a DP rule, and then they needed more help because he wasn't just good enough on his own. And they added a second DP.
But see, like, how
fun. By the way, they got to collect all the DPs that were grandfathered in that weren't, weren't counted as DPs, like Landon Donovan. So, yeah.
Right, but, like, how fun is it going to be to watch all of this develop? Like, the extent of how blatant this will be is what I'm interested in. Like, the whole thing with the players that they just were supposed to believe that they just ended the contracts with them and didn't pay them any money, and that these players just walked away from guaranteed money in these contracts. And, like, things like that. Like, they're going to announce maybe some rule changes, and that will probably answer some of it. But I'm sorry. They could change the rules a lot, and Miami's going to have to do something on the line, gray area, or just all the way over it to make this happen. And you know what? Who cares? I'm here for it. Messi's in MLS. If they get all these players here, crazy things are going to happen. It'll be fun to watch. It's going to be a roller coaster. I like a bit of anarchy.
Hey, Cody, I'm with you, but here's my question. Okay, you're Lionel Messi. You're lining up to take this free kick, right? So what's your thought process? Are you thinking, oh, my God, the pressure here, my first MLS game, I've got to put this in the back of the net? Or are you like, oh, this is a piece of cake. I've done this a million times. What's going through his head at that moment?
He has nothing left to worry about. I'm telling you, he's a new man with no worries and issues anymore after the World Cup. There's nothing that can hold him down. If he misses it, who cares? But he can just be himself and play and be the greatest player of all time that I know that he is.
And then go celebrate with his family right there.
And, Mike, you made a good point. It is, of course, the sheer, moment is on par with what Zlatan did. Both of those goals are just done in the most perfect version of that player, and it symbolized everything they are. Messi's going to be able to do these ridiculous free kicks. He could score that free kick in MLS until he's like 45, 50 years old. I'm telling you.
I'll add one other thing, because you talked about, you mentioned whether Messi cares, or as he's saying over staying over the free kick, how big of a moment it is. And in this situation, I think having Beckham as part of the ownership group, and Beckham being the whole reason we start to have these sorts of situations available for players like Messi to be a designated player. I mean, we had the Beckham rule. It was called the Beckham rule in jest, but that was the reason the DP rule came into being, was because of him, basically. And I mean, I know I've brought it up a lot. I recently reread the Beckham experiment with the Messi news coming around, and just one of the aspects that Grant Wall brings up is Beckham didn't understand at the start as much of the cultural impact that he would have coming over into the U.S. And I think having Beckham as part of the ownership group to, I don't want to say work with Messi, because that's not what it is, but having somebody who's been through that sort of same experience, I think will help Messi understand probably what he could do for the game, if that makes sense.
I think it does, Mike, and it does. It will help in that regard. And again, Beckham and Messi are such two different people, and Beckham was used to fame and kind of enjoyed it and, you know, all that type of stuff. Where obviously Messi's used to fame, but he doesn't seem to lavish it up as much. You know, he's not going to be as talkative, but he has seemed to lighten up a lot, so maybe he will be more so.
Well, he refuses to speak any other language than Spanish, and it's pretty funny. So, yeah, he's not going to be that talkative because it's going to be in another language.
Hey, what'd you guys think of, you know, post-game? The Apple people, you could even hear the reporter saying, I only get one question with him. Why does Apple get one question with Messi and that's it? And he's done. He just walked away.
Well, there's a whole bunch of people asking questions, right?
Right, right. But this is Apple. He's getting money from them, right? And one question is all you get. And then he just walks away.
Because he's Messi.
He's Messi. So. Right. But he gets a cut of all those, of all every single thing now. So, you know, he's behooved to do it.
Jerseys, subscriptions.
All right, we're gonna take one more break, and then we're gonna talk Women's World Cup and wrap things up here. All right, Thad, we are full swing of the Women's World Cup. What do you think so far?
It's been kind of entertaining. Still want to see how the U.S. will do when they face a little tougher team, Vietnam. They won against Vietnam 3-0.
I wanted more, right? Am I wrong? Should I be happy with a 3-0 win? In my head, it should have been varsity versus JV a little bit.
Vietnam is better than what a lot of people will give them credit for. In the one of their warm-up games, they lost to Germany 2-1. So, I mean, it wasn't a blowout against, you know, another one of the best teams in the world. But then they also lost like 4-0 in another friendly. So it's pretty hit or miss. It's just like with Sporting. Sometimes it's hard to break down teams until you score on them. And once you do, then it starts happening. And even with that, one of those goals I think was really pretty lucky and maybe should have actually been offside, but that's okay. But, hey, Brazil looked good today. Germany looked good today.
I caught some of the Brazil game. The current got one of those Brazilians today, right?
They did. Lauren Leal, I think. She just goes by Lauren, so I'm just going with that. But center back, 20 years old.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Starter in the World Cup for Brazil. So
okay, good. That's what I was just about to ask. She is start. I saw she was on the roster, so she's starting center back at 20, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
Should be pretty good.
Has how much time did Davinha get today?
She started and played midway through the second half. I can't remember the exact time, 60, 70 minutes. Set up one of the goals. She played really well.
We never talked about the promo that they did with Davinha for the World Cup of her juggling that thing in the store. I absolutely loved that. It sent me back to my childhood. Like they used to make those ads. It reminded me of the like Jogo Bonito one and the airport one with the Brazilian team. It just, I loved it so much. It was like done in a style that really sent me back. They need to be doing those every year.
I'm not much of a Nike fan, but they always do really good commercials. And yeah. I don't know, the one with Davinha, they did one with a bunch of different players. And then they did one that kind of tied it all together with a dad watching the World Cup with his daughter. So I don't want to tell you the whole story there because you need to watch it. And if you want, I'll go find it so we can post it in the post when we do for the pod. But it's a really good one.
New pod over there. Did you use the music? Did I send you the music that we have for over there?
I have the music. I sent it to you originally.
Yeah, okay. Did you put it in the pod?
No, I did not.
That really completes the whole thing. And it's a banger. That might... Maybe it's just because I've heard our theme music... 8 million times at this point, but yeah, the Over There song is a banger.
Yeah, and Cody's referring to I did a couple pods with Hugh Williams to break down the U.S. before the game and then after the first game, and we'll do some more.
If you are subscribed on wherever you get your podcasts to the KC Soccer Journal, you will see those in your feed, and a nice well-rounded soccer pod network.
A little bit of everything, so you can pick and choose what you want to listen to, but listen to everything.
That's right.
It helps.
So Wednesday night at looks like 8 p.m. is the Netherlands. Am I wrong in assuming that they are good? In my head, that sounds like it'll be an actual test.
It will be. They are good. They're not necessarily as good as they were at the last World Cup, but that was the final, U.S. versus Netherlands at the last World Cup. So I don't think either team is as good as they were at that point, so it'll be a good test.
So this roster is not as good as 4 years ago, is what you're saying, for the women.
It is much younger. 14 of the 23 players, it's their first World Cup. One of the starter in the first game was her second cap with the team. So there's a lot of – that was Savannah DeMello. So there's a lot of very youth there. So it's, you know, like the – I can't remember how many in the starting lineup in the last game, but like half of them, it was their first World Cup game. So they're getting experience.
And no slight toward Vlatko, because, you know, I used to work with the guy, but, you know, he's a first-time World Cup coach too.
Yeah, he's a great coach. It's going to be difficult, though. It's, as everybody keeps saying, the world is catching up, and there's always been 2, 3, 4 teams that were capable of beating the U.S. at each World Cup, but now there's probably 10 that's capable of beating the U.S. on any given day.
Ah.
So it's just getting tougher and tougher. And when we look at teams like Vietnam and Thailand and places like that, they are catching up. They're getting better players. You know, they're still not the top teams in the world or anything, but they're all getting better. I mean, it's just incredible, which is great for the game.
I'm going to bring us back to Sporting KC and MLS for a minute here. 9 games left. We've got the Chivas game is on Monday. And as Mike said, if we lose, then there's a long break until any other games. But 9 games left in the MLS regular season. Robert, how are you feeling about this? Are they going to sneak in above the line here?
Tell you, man, you know, the league has been inconsistent, and the amount of points to get into the playoffs this year is going to be the lowest it's been in a while, yeah, the way things are going.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just,
so you're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance, but Sporting just been so inconsistent and up and down and losing these leads, and I don't see the defense getting any better. So I'm not terribly optimistic.
Is the only hope that we have for fun the rest of the season just that we focus on the 2 STL games? We get 2 wins against Seattle, 2 wins against St. Louis. That might be the only happiness we have left this year.
I'm sorry, but we've got to win that fucking game.
Right. That's what I mean. September. We absolutely have to win the one at home. At least the one at home. Good God. I don't ask for much. I don't need a 4-0 win.
Yeah, we do.
Mike, is Sporting going to make the playoffs?
Will they? Probably not. But I mean, the possibility of, I guess, sneaking in is there. If you look at it from the aspect of last year, for example, they picked up 17 points in their last 9 games, which would put Sporting this year on 43 points, which 43 points last year was enough for the 9th seed in the Western Conference. So they just need to do the same thing they did last year, which was fairly unprecedented anyway. So, yeah, I don't think it'll happen, but that's what needs to happen for Sporting to probably have a chance at it.
One difference, though, is they got 2 new players to go on that good run last year. There isn't 2 new players coming into this team.
Oh, come on, Thad. Afrifa is going to go on a streak, man. He's just going to be hot the rest of the season.
He scored in MLS Next Pro a couple games ago. So,
Mike,
and
the way
he started and didn't look very good against Austin.
No, just not quite in sync. I mean, you could see some good things from him, but he was just not in sync. He was not a Sporting forward. He didn't know what to do.
Mike, you said something a second ago that made me think of this when you said, will they, after I said, is Sporting going to do something? We have become wildly inconsistent with how we refer to this team on our site and in this podcast. I know it's a very American thing. I've held out as long as I can in this country to still say Sporting Kansas City is. But I listen to enough European soccer. I see enough of it, and sometimes it comes out that Sporting Kansas City are. So, Thad, you're the manager of this site. Get a hold of this, man. Branding. How do we do this? We need to make sure we're consistent for our fans. And I'm curious as to what our community thinks it should be. If we should lean into our European soccer brethren and do R or is. And then when you add in WSL, there are like 9 teams that have a singular name, and that just adds one more level of complexity.
That's the singular name is why using is versus are. Chiefs is plural, you use are. Royals is plural, you use are. Sporting sounds singular, so you use is.
So that is the grammar rule on what it sounds like.
No, do not. No, singular. Never listen to me on grammar. Ever.
Okay, so I'm gonna
English teacher over here, but okay.
Okay, then explain it, man.
Well, Mike is right.
You stepped up. Now you have to be the defensive
source. Now you better get it right,
man. I'm going to argue with you, though, either way you go.
But, I mean, you can look at it the other way, too, because, you know, some things in grammar are gray because there are multiple players on Sporting Kansas City, but it's one team. So I agree with what Mr. Kuhn said.
Some things in grammar are gray, not is gray?
Things is plural.
So you think everyone in England is wrong when they say Manchester City are champions? I'm asking you, English teacher.
It's a gray area, and there are multiple players on the team, so you can look at it that way.
Yeah, yes. English is so stupid.
And I've tried to look this up, man. I've seriously sat there and like just stared at the damn screen, thinking, "What do I do here?" Because it just doesn't sound right, and then or Grammarly or Word or something like telling me I'm doing it wrong. So I do some research, and it keeps coming back to do what sounds right.
Well, Thad, we made the call a long time ago. Actually, it might have been SB Nation as a whole made the call that we were going to use is, and we definitely don't do that anymore. Chad, I think Chad uses R. I do it sometimes. I will alternate in the same article. So it is a bit of anarchy right now. I hope you guys don't hold that against us. I wish Thad would get a hold of it and make an executive decision here, but it's just wildly unprofessional.
Well, here's another English rule for you. All, any, most, some, and none can be either singular or plural. So there you go.
Ooh, that sounded nice. Can you say that again?
All, any, most, some, or none can be singular or plural. So there you go.
Look at that. We don't even need Thad to say something prophetic anymore.
Most can be singular?
It all depends on the prepositional phrase that follows it, if you want to get technical.
Oh, God.
All of the boys would be plural.
This was my least favorite subject in school.
What about most of the boys would be plural?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it all depends on the prepositional phrase.
Give me a most that's singular.
Most of the water is gray or distasteful, or whatever you want to say.
What water are you looking at? Gray water is the color.
The river next to the current stadium.
That water in Colorado I had out of the tap was not very good. And Topeka. Topeka's water is not very good.
And this has been Shades of Grammar, your English podcast.
Sporting is great.
Can you pull your wife in on this too?
She's out. She's out right now.
All right. Before we go, we got one other signing to announce. Kansas City Comets signed a defender. So Current got a new defender. Kansas City Comets got a new defender. Chad Vandergriff. He was previously with Florida, who have decided not to play this year.
Ceased operations.
Yeah, because they can't.
I believe the term they used.
Yeah, and like they're going to come back. They ceased operations, so that makes it sound like they'll come back. But we'll see. They got to find a stadium that they can play in.
And that is one of the other podcasts.
This is for you, Cody. That's Cody, are you on the board? Are you ready? Are you ready for this? All right, coming up, the Kansas City Current media game.
Oh, yes,
September 1st.
Except I'm not playing, so I can't. I'm going to do it anyway.
Why are you not playing?
Well, why aren't you playing, man?
I knew nothing about it.
Were you not invited this time? You were in the last time.
Well, you know what? I might have an email. We'll see. What day? So what day is this?
How many years did you miss playing in media games just because you didn't see the email until it was too late?
Look, I'm sorry. I could probably update my email filters a little better, but I'm sorry. The current sends an absurd amount of media emails. It is way too many. I feel like I get 3 a day from them. So my eyes kind of just gloss over on.
He's wrong.
Were you ever on Cincinnati's media list? Because they still send me 1 to 2 a day.
Yes.
So no, the current are not the worst in terms of media emails. The FC Cincinnati has sent me. I get daily emails from them with news stuff.
Oh, hey,
Cincinnati,
look at that.
Charlotte, Nashville, North Carolina. It's like daily emails from all of them.
Okay, good. You guys were acting.
You're
like
in Nashville. Just to let you know that there's a new hot wings at the local place that is branded with Nashville's logo or something. It's like, come on.
All right, boys. I'm looking at an email right now, and Dabinia is pointing a finger at me. We want you for the 2023 KC Curran Media Game.
Ooh, there you go.
And it is not too late to RSVP.
No, it is not.
So let's run it back.
Has just been sent off. Some part of strong evolved on soft fight, but things got me drinking. My foot things got me drinking. My foot things got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, when or gin. Anything to shake this mood I'm in. My foot things got me drinking. My foot got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking.